All right. Thank you all for coming to the Sucks Wars, the shittiest social media campaigns of in recent memory. We have up here four august panelists to help us recall and memorialize these horrible events. We're going to discuss them a little. We're going to try to establish some worst practices. Everybody always talks about best practices. We're going to talk about worst practices. We're going to go up and down the row. Each person is going to make one nomination. Once we've got four nominations, then you folks will vote for the worst of that round. And then once we've got our four worst runners up, then we'll have a final vote and decide on the absolute worst social media marketing campaign in recent memory. So let me introduce my panelists. On the far right, we have Charlotte Sellis coming from San Francisco. She describes herself as Jim Beam's global brand girl. And so she'll offer perspectives from a brand perspective. She knows how actually hard this stuff is to pull off. Agencies come with their seductive stories and convince poor innocent brands to do horrible, nasty things. Next up, we have the Buzz Machine, a.k.a. Jeff Jarvis, who needs no introduction in these circles. He who made life hell for Dell. So next There's up, Dell. We have Rebecca Lieb, editor-in-chief of the ClickZ Network. And finally, we have Steve Hull, a refugee from Madison Avenue who blogs at AdRants, where many of you read him. And we would love it if any of you folks here are actually with the brands that we'll be discussing for you to stand up and defend yourselves. That would be really great. I'm going to try to juggle here between PowerPoints, and then we'll do a little live video back and forth, so bear with me if it sucks. First up, nominee number one, brought to you by Charlotte. Charlotte, briefly describe what this campaign did, then tell us why it was horrible.
Yeah, hi, everyone. I had to start with a booze brand because that's my background. But basically, Molson used its Facebook group to entice consumers and more specifically college kids to send them pictures of them, quote, using their product, which really means being effed up. I didn't think that was particularly good. First, from a social drinking perspective, that's not very smart. They did the right thing. It was very good starting engaging new consumers right on, good attitude. Not so good, a brand manager in the booze industry saying, oh, let's get them to send them their drunk pictures. Not very brilliant. And very cold, again, rewarding kids. This trip was about $8,000 for getting drunk. What really ticked me off was what Marketing Vox wrote. Molson believes much was learned about how to best conduct a social marketing campaign. But if you have a bad marketing to start with, don't even go to social marketing. So that was my first one.
Great. Let's see. Next up, we're going to see a video from Carlton Beer, assuming that I can get us there.
Yep.
Which one is Carlton? There we go.
It's a big ad. Very big ad. It's a big ad we're in. It's a big ad. My God, it's big. Can't believe how big it is. It's a big ad. For thousands of it's just so freaking good.
Now, I think that's a great ad. What makes that?
I think it's a great movie, but I think it's a really bad ad. And I think that's a pretty important distinction in what we're discussing here. Ad went mega, mega viral. Zillions of people have seen it. When I talk to people in the industry, when I interview heads of agencies about what's great in viral advertising, they all cite this ad because it's a really entertaining, really good movie. Look it up on YouTube. It's for Carlton, C-A-R-L-E-T-O-N draft. It's for Carlsberg beer. It's for Carl's Sun beer. I have never spoken to anybody who cited this ad as a great ad that actually correctly cited the brand that it was trying to sell some bloody beer for. And, you know, this breaks rule 101 of advertising, going all the way back to David Ogilvy's Bible on the subject, is you gotta know what the ad was for. It was for beer, but, what beer? I can't even remember myself. Carlsberg.
Cool.
That's where I think it fails.
It was a good ad for the agency, probably.
Great ad for the agency. And they got to do a lot of 10% markup on that production.
All right, Jeff, you're going to talk a little bit about...
Paper post is evil. I hate paper post. Paper post pays people, if you don't know, pays bloggers to write things about products. At first, they weren't at all transparent, and then they now, after much pressure from bloggers, became more transparent. But it's trying to buy the voice of bloggers. This is a mom, I believe this is the right one, who was doing this for HP. You have a huge brand like HP trying to buy the voice of bloggers. If this is the same mom, a mom at the time took a Valleywag, hates it, so that's a good sign, had her kids smash a video camera for YouTube to say how much they wanted an HP camera. She turned her children into shills for HP. Paper post is evil. Now, it took me a while to really understand the full depth of the evil of this, is that, you know, I went to a few of the Paper Post's blogs, and I thought, who the hell would read this crap? Gee, I like an HP camera. You want to give me an HP camera? Please give me an HP camera. If you read this, I'll get an HP camera. Who's going to read that? And it was a ding moment to realize that they weren't intending for anyone to read this, save for Google to read this. It's a human splog, a human spam blog. Right? All it does is get human blogs to put in links to products and get that to rise up in Google. And they're using these people and they're getting moms to use their kids all to do spam. Evil.
Hello and welcome to the Nakaza family. Today we have Jacob and Grayson and they're going to share some things with us. Grayson, what did you bring for us to see today?
A digital camera.
A digital camera. Is it an HP camera?
No, it's crap.
It's crap. Well, what do we do with cameras that aren't HP cameras?
We smash it.
Smash away.
Oh! Okay, that's starting to scare me.
All right. That looks like fun. So, and today, if you go and look for that woman's blog, it does not exist. All right, next up.
Oh, yeah. Well, first, this is my first South by Southwest, and I attended the introductory panel yesterday where all they did was swear and drink. So I now know that it's perfectly okay for me to, in reaction to all these things we talk about, to say, what the fuck were they thinking about? So in terms of Walmart, you may have heard of it. They created a blog. They didn't say that it was from them. It was, well, it had their sort of name on it, Walmarting Across America. And it was followed the trails of this couple who went across the America in an RV, the Iraq. Did you catch that? The Iraq, the America. Sorry about that. I'm nervous.
It's a big crowd.
It is a big crowd.
You need a drink.
Yeah, I do. Where's the Bushmill? All right. So this is one of the few fake blog ad campaigns that came from PR agency Edelman, who's sort of famous for doing this sort of thing. And you would think that after a while they would sort of get it and not do it again. So they were roundly trashed and, you know, they got a lot of crap from people in the blogosphere. And, you know, just like some of the previous things you've seen, it's no longer existing.
Except on the Wayback Machine.
Well, hardly even there.
Okay, so that brings round one to a conclusion. Let's have some voting here, please. We have Molson. We have Carlson beer. I've forgotten the name of it. We have Hewlett-Packard, and we have Walmart. We have some giant brands going head-to-head for the first round of the Sucks Wars. So show of hands, please, for Molson. Oh, this is going to be tough. Okay, start counting.
You might want to do it by sound.
Okay. Well, let's... The big ad by Carlson Beer. Oh, nobody for that. Hewlett-Packard.
Ooh. Come on, yay!
And Walmart. Any thoughts on Walmart? Okay, so it looks like the winner of the first round is Hewlett-Packard and the charming mother from Minnesota. All right, next up. Charlotte, we come back to you.
That's mine. That's my favorite ever. I don't know if any of you recognize this man. Do any of you do? Okay, there's about 10 people who work. He's my favorite man on earth, and I actually did not put that little aura on top of it. It came out of Google. This is Raho Deb. Raho Deb is John Mackey. He's the CEO of Whole Foods. And he was interested in buying one of his competitor and didn't find anything better than going on different forums. I think most of them were on Yahoo, and post under a fake name, which was Raho Deb, which is actually an anagram of his wife's first name, Deborah. And he posted negative comments on Wild Oats, hoping the price would go down. I thought that was very, very, very low. He's a CEO, okay? He's responsible for the jobs of a lot of people. And what he does is take some time to go post negative things on his competitors. Now, what really struck me is, why is the guy still a CEO? And, well, he was the founder. Fair enough. He founded the company. Maybe he's got, you know, special seat. And then I realized that he actually reduced his salary to $1 a year. So I'm thinking, you've got a CEO. Okay, he fucked up. But you're paying him $1, so why not? So John Mackey's got my vote. I'm a Trader Joe's girl myself, but
he's got my vote. Charlotte. Charlotte just could not stop talking in the green room. John Mackey.
I really do. I'm really bothered here. So,
all right, next up, Cisco, the human network. Jeff, you want to tell us about that?
Another effort to corrupt the blogosphere. Cisco and the Wikipedia sphere. Cisco is now branding themselves with the human network. You know, we're all a network. Yay. And Cisco puts us together, and that's fine. That's an ad slogan. Nothing wrong with that. But the first mistake they made was they went into Wikipedia and wrote an entry for the human network invented by Cisco, which is just so evil. And at the time, I was a site on the ad network that did this, and I emailed the network and said, stop them from doing this. Save them from themselves. This is a sin. It's awful. Don't do this. They went ahead. They said, well, somebody else did it. We didn't do it. Somebody else did it. Yeah, sure. And it lived there for a while. But now if you search for human network on Wikipedia, Wikipedia being the grand self-curing wound on earth, it no longer goes to that. It just goes to social network. You know, Cisco. So Cisco also then did a campaign to have bloggers try to write about the human network. And the, you know, I call that shilling. I call that advertising. I call that PR, but it's not what I do editorially as a journalist. And not every blogger wants to be a journalist, but, you know, you're buying our voice. And it's a bit corrupting. Well, the argument was that no. They're not really writing about Cisco. They're just writing about their view of the human network, and it happens to appear on ads. Then they did the same thing for Microsoft with PeopleReady. I find great irony to this, is both these campaigns that came out of the same network were trying to be fake human network and people ready. And they try to get bloggers to write about this as if we really got people involved. But as soon as the flight ended, boom, they're down. So there's no ongoing relationship. There's no network. There's no social thing. It was just an effort to use the bloggers to get links, to try to look real and look social. And it's just another ad. And I think bloggers were fools to be used. And some of them realized that when Nick Denton and Valleywag went after them. Old Malik, for example, said, I wouldn't have done this at Fast Company, so I'm not going to do it here. And he dropped out, and good for Ohm.
So that's a self-righteous blogger's description. Yes. Let's hear what an actual ad executive who's promoting the idea has to say. This is an ad executive from the network selling it to a bunch of advertisers. We can go straight to the video.
As a conversation around content rather than a broadcast message delivery system. This was a campaign that probably many of you have seen. Cisco, the technology company, did a large brand campaign in every business magazine and on TV and the sides of buses last October. Before the campaign started, and the campaign was called Welcome to the Human Network, Cisco and their agency approached us because they were concerned that they're spending a lot of money on this campaign built around Welcome to the Human Network, and the human network as a phrase may not mean anything to people. And so they wanted us to help socialize that term in the larger internet space. And what we ended up doing together was inviting the authors of about 15 sites that we work with at FM to write their own definitions of the human network. And so what you're seeing here is on the left an ad that ran on TechCrunch, a site published by Mike Arrington. Mike Arrington on the human network. The unit to the right is Glenn Fleischman, who runs Wi-Fi Networking News, wrote that copy. This also ran on Boing Boing and Metafilter and 14 or so other sites. What's important here is this was not blog authors saying something nice about Cisco. It was not blog authors saying that everyone needs a router. It was blog authors in their own voice saying, what does the term human network mean to you? And so it allowed...
So now we're going to fast forward and hear what it did to Wikipedia and how nice that was.
Wikipedia, as you all know, very big. It was in that first slide, but we marketers can't touch it. We're not allowed to run ads there or insert definitions because the community throws that out very quickly. What we were able to do with this campaign is organically convince the Wikipedians, the editorial body of Wikipedia, that something interesting was going on and Cisco was incorporating it into a marketing campaign. And so the slide that's sort of at the top and in the back is the Wikipedia page where a human network is now a term that lives in Wikipedia.
Bravo.
Now, at the bottom of the page, if you now think come October and you're a bit...
I love to be organically socialized.
There you go.
But doesn't he look pained trying to describe the thing? He looks like he's just covering the whole thing up.
All right. Next up, we have Mentos and Diet Coke, another very contrarian, oddball nominee.
Has anyone not heard about this? Okay, good, good. You've seen all the videos. So the bad thing about this was that when it first came out, there was some incredible wisdom that came from Coke in response to this, such as the, first of all, the Mentos VP said, we're tickled pink by it, and they loved it. So they got right on board, and they were loving it. But the Coke spokeswoman, Susan McDermott, said, this craziness with Mentos doesn't fit with our brand personality. And it's an entertaining phenomenon. We hope people would want to drink more than try experiments with it. And I'm sort of like, does it really matter what they do with it after they buy it? It's all money to you. So 8 months later, a lot of things in between happened in that 8 month time span. Mentos launched their own contest. Coke sort of slid in with something. But the end of it all was when Coke invited the brothers, the Epibird, down there to actually perform in Atlanta in front of Coke's headquarters. And sort of, it became their own thing, which they had nothing to do with at the outset. And so it's sort of an example of a big company really not getting it. And because they didn't get it, tried to ignore the fact that they didn't get it, and then call it their own and take all the credit for it. Not good.
Great. Let's see. Well, we've all seen it, but just for the fun of it. Looks like pretty conspicuous consumption of Coke to me. All right.
Who wants to drink that crap anyway?
All right, next up we have Vespa.
Okay, a little more inauthenticity in the blogosphere. But actually, the irony is this really was authentic. This was a blog launched by a PR agency called Cooper Katz, a guy by the name of Steve Robell, who's now at Edelman committing some other sins, was behind this. And it really was a very authentic Vespa blog. They did go out and find four or five very enthusiastic people who used Vespa. And this was a group blog where these bloggers blogged about Vespa and how to use it and Vespa issues and blah, 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 blah. And it went on very happily and very successfully for a while until Vespa lost interest. And then all the blog entries started being about, well, we're calling the guys at Vespa and marketing won't return our phone calls and we haven't heard from the PR agency. And one by one, they dropped off the blog. And this is the last entry on the blog, which is written in a somewhat more polite fashion than some of those other entries about how Vespa's lost interest, the PR agency's lost interest, nobody's returning our calls, so we're going to go do our own blogs elsewhere and basically screw you. And the PS on this story is Vespa had so lost interest that this stayed on the web for like 2 years as a derelict blog. I mean, I don't think there's anything worse than a derelict corporate advertising blog that lives on in perpetuity. It is finally down. I grabbed this shot off the Wayback Machine this morning, but the point is it also still lives on, as do many other bad things on the Wayback Machine. And, you know, if you're finished with something, finish it. Don't let it languish embarrassingly for a long time.
Great. Okay, we're at the end of round two. To sum up, we have the very simple message from Charlotte, don't lie. From Jeff Jarvis, don't fake socialization or fuck with the Wikipedia. We have go with it. If you're lucky enough to have something going on in social media, for God's sake, play with it and don't try to shut it down. And then finally, we have VESPA, which simply can be summed up as stick with it if you start something. So let's have a show of hands for John Mackey.
Come on.
Wow. Charlotte's passing out free booze to folks. Here we go. Let's have a show of hands for Cisco and the Human Network. It's going to be tight. Okay.
You're disappointed.
We're going to have a runoff here. We're going to have a caucus system soon.
I want Florida to be included in this vote. No.
Next up, we have Mentos. Okay, we can say that. VESPA. Thoughts on VESPA. Okay. I'm going to say it's between John Mackey and Cisco. So let's go back. You're going to get those two choices now. John Mackey, show of hands.
Go.
And Cisco, show of hands.
Two for two.
Cisco has it. Okay. God, these are Jarvis's. He's incredible.
I think Cisco wins.
All right. Agency.com. Oh, God. We love these people.
Oh, yeah.
So let's see if we can. Do you want me to show it first? Or do you want to talk about it? Or does it just speak for itself?
It just speaks for itself for 9 excruciating minutes, so I don't think we're going to be able to see all of it. And I have to thank my colleague Steve Hall. We argued about who got to show this one, and he seeded it. So
if you
vote for it, you're voting for both of us.
The music will make your spine tingle. All of you will recall this suddenly.
Lance Williams.
Okay. Yes, that's exactly what we do. We would love to get involved. Let me chat with our management team, and I will get back with you.
Okay. Thank you.
JL, dude, I need you in corner office now. Jello. Hey, man, you in corner office? All right, good. I'm on my way.
Created a much wider...
Katie, Colleen, can I get you guys in corner office?
Yeah, we'll be right there.
Okay. Can I, Tom?
Sorry.
Dude, just had an amazing call.
Yeah.
Subway, Interactive Agency of Record. Don't know all the details yet. Don't know who we're up against, but it's big.
Pitch? You know, if we roll big.
Let's do this.
So, guys...
I think we can end there.
We're going to go ahead and pitch Subway. What are you guys doing for the next 3 days?
This is a huge...
All right.
I also thought it would be interesting to do a B2B campaign instead of all consumer campaigns. So agency got an opportunity to pitch Subway to be their agency of record. Rather than do a classic pitch, they threw this viral video onto YouTube without warning Subway that they were doing it. And it actually went viral in the sense that they were excoriated. They were excoriated in Steve's publication. They were excoriated in my publication. They were excoriated in Business Week, in Ad Week, in Ad Age. They were made a laughing stock of. The video actually disappeared from YouTube, and wonder why that happened. They did not get the business, by the way. People started leaving the agency in droves at all of their offices across the country. I don't think that they've recovered from this one yet. And just to, because you really can't watch the whole 9 minutes of the video, they send the creative director to get a job at some Subway making sandwiches. There are like close-ups of her hand with the perfect manicure and a huge diamond, you know, making these sandwiches. They do people on the street interviews. They like walk up to, you know, an Orthodox Jewish man on the street in New York and go, excuse me, sir, can you talk to women? Can you tell us what you think of Subway? It's just... mind-numbing.
For me, the worst part was having worked in advertising agencies with it was embarrassing, because I mean, honestly, that kind of stuff does happen.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You know, it does.
But there's also that ring of inauthenticity. When I watch it, I think of those court TV reenactments with, like, out-of-work actors of the horrible murder. Like, you know that was not a live shot of them getting the call and calling everybody into the coroner office. It was a reenactment. It just is so horrible on so many levels.
And you really want us to play the whole 9 minutes. I know.
No, no, I can't watch it again.
Target Rounders.
Oh, yeah. Who's not heard of Target Rounders? Okay. It was something that they did. It was a social network site kind of a thing. It was a Facebook group. And they wanted to have college kids come, you know, and sign up where they could earn discounts and CDs. And if they would, of course, tell their friends about it, but not tell their friends that it was necessarily for Target. So it was buzz marketing in a sense, but clandestine buzz marketing. And it's interesting to see how they put it forth. The directive that was given in the initial email, was as follows. It said, your mission, try not to let the Facebook group that you know that you are a rounder. We love your enthusiasm for rounders and know it can be hard not to want to sing it from the mountaintops. However, we want to get other members of the Facebook group excited about Target too. And we don't want the Rounders program to steal the show from the real star here. Target and Target's rockin' Facebook group. So keep it a secret.
Keep it like a secret.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, man. Dude.
They lied. You know, they created something and they didn't own up to the fact that they created it. So a university student, University of Georgia student, Rosie Simon, called it out. And then it just, you know, as many things like this do, it sort of exploded across the blogosphere. Everybody started writing about it. Everybody started trashing it. Although, you know, to Target's credit, they sort of did apologize. And they did apologize fairly quickly. But still, they sort of put it on the agency and in queries to the agency, the agency sort of said, oh, well, Target really didn't know about it. And that's sort of classic. The agency always taking the fall for the client, because if they don't, they're going to lose the business. So, you know, it was a circular lie all the way around. And we don't like that.
You know, Target said to a blogger last month that they wouldn't comment to her query because they don't respond to bloggers. It's right. Corporate policy.
Right.
Because bloggers aren't part of their Target client. Yeah. Base, I think.
Not journalists.
There you go.
You know.
Well, there was this this Target blogger, I think it was about last year, and it was a very, very enthusiastic consumer. This woman just loved Target. She kept on blogging about what she found at Target this week and loved it. And the people at Target, who seemed to be very social media savvy, obviously, got wind of it. And so they contacted that woman and they left a message on her answering machine. That woman freaked out. She thought she was going to get sued or anything. So she immediately went online, destroyed her blog, canceled everything, hid everything. I heard about it about a year ago. And
went
finally,
into hiding.
she thought she was going to get sued or something, or she'd done something wrong. And finally she gets in touch with the Target people, say, no, we really love what you're doing. And we just want to know if we could give you some samples or give you a preview of new things. And that whole thing fizzled. That woman never really got back to her blog. But at least they're listening.
And I was just going to say for Target, I work for Dell. And that is a very good strategy to say that you're on the blog.
Indeed.
Yeah. And what the blogger was inquiring about actually was they released some image in their advertising of a woman sitting spread legged on the Target logo, and the Target was right in her crotch.
Yeah, we saw that one.
Just in case you want to know what the blogger was asking about.
Next up, this one may break Jeff's losing streak,
let's say. Well, let me mention, though, that the man who just spoke in the audience is Lionel Menchaca, who's the Dell blogger, the chief Dell blogger. And some of you might know I had a little episode with Dell, and Lionel has kind of turned around that brand and should be up here instead talking about how you can do it right. But this is not about doing it right, it's about doing it wrong. And so now we have the Giuliani campaign. Of course, if you listen to political pundits, you know that he has the Republican nomination sewn up, right? It's a sure thing, no problem. Giuliani is not scared of terrorists, but he was scared of the internet. He was frightened of it. And this shows it open now, but when he started his MySpace page, it was closed. You couldn't get into his MySpace page. He wasn't socialized. He wasn't organic. He couldn't do either. And you know, there's an important lesson here is if you compare this obviously to Obama and other candidates, you know, Obama has as one of his chief advisors, one of the founders of Facebook, and they've been brilliant about using social media to raise money and organize voters and so on and so forth. Well, Giuliani was the exact opposite of that. They did nothing with the internet. They couldn't figure out the internet. And if you looked at the money raising, that alone was telling. He raised next to nothing from a whole bunch of voters because he didn't have the internet. He didn't know what the internet was and he didn't do it. Whereas other candidates have been learning the internet through social media and YouTube and other means. So Giuliani, I would argue, was defeated by his lack of savvy about the internet. It's going a little far, but hey, it's political pundits do.
That's good. That's good.
That one's mine. That's all I want for Christmas is a PSP. And I same thing. I wonder how many of you have not heard about it. Okay. But basically, it was a fake blog. It was about Charlie, who's posing as a consumer, saying, "Hey, you know, I've had a PlayStation, and he's got this cool teenager language and." Right. Everybody found out this was fake, and it did backfire. It did backfire from bloggers' comments. There were about 550 negative comments, such as, "Wow, they actually did delete my previous post. What losers!" Because most of the brands out there, when they start being criticized, they delete right away. Like no one's gonna know. Good job turning your consumers off your products and so forth. Yield tremendously negative press. Everybody knew about it. Everybody knew this was a fake. And we had a little bit earlier a discussion on what happens when social campaign medias or campaigns in general go bad. Usually the client blames the agency and the agency takes the blame because the client's still paying. And Zipitoni, which is, by the way, a company we work with, so they also have some good people there, is still paying for it. This is not gone. If you go to Wikipedia, what you'll read, the second paragraph you'll read about this agency is there was widespread criticism of the campaign on the internet. The campaign was poorly received, blah, blah, blah. It's still out there. So again, we always come back to the issue around authenticity and lying. I'm sure the PSP is a great product. I'm sure they could have found people who absolutely love it. If it's not a great product, fix it, make it a great product, but don't lie about it.
Okay, great. And that brings us to the end of round three. We have agency.com with their wonderful promotion of themselves, their own skills in movie making. We have Target, keep it like a secret. Mm-hmm. We have Mayor Giuliani, the former candidate for President of the United States. And we also have PSP. So let's see a show of hands for agency.com.
Oh, my God.
That's a clue. Hey,
huh. All right. Shall we even vote on the rest? Let's just... Target.
She's smart.
Yeah, a few hands for Target. Giuliani. Nobody votes for Giuliani.
Hey, you're stacking the deck here. What do you think you are, the New York Times?
And PSP. Okay. So we have a winner there. It is agency.com, continuing to gain status in the industry.
All right.
Okay, and that brings us to the end of the official... nominating process. If Jackie Huba's in the audience, she had contributed a nice one to the Facebook group. We had a Suxer's Facebook group in which we all masqueraded as employees of other companies, and Jackie contributed an idea, and so I just wanted to let her speak for hers if she wants to. Let's see if we can, they'll switch that on for you. Jackie, I've actually got the video if you want to.
Sure, why don't I introduce it, and then you can show the video, and then sure. We'll say what's wrong with this darn thing. This is Marie Digby, who rose to fame as an amateur musician and songwriter. She posted a cover of Rihanna's good song, which was Umbrella. She has a MySpace page, very popular. I mean, she's a very talented woman, 5 million views later. You know, she's kind of rose to the grassroots. And I love the quote that she had on her MySpace page, where she said, "Wow, I like turn on a video camera and I record this thing, and who knew this could happen?" So go ahead and play it.
Okay. Two.
You have my heart, there will never be a world. she'll still be my star. This baby in the dark, you will see shine.
Well, who knew that this could be so easy was her record company, who she had signed with 18 months prior, even though she said she didn't have a record company. And they sent in professional, actually, videographers to record this thing and post it on the web. And she was outed by the Wall Street Journal. And then there was a huge backlash. So I think this is really, as Jeff says, evil, because it's just totally, you know, we find lots of musicians who do rise to the grassroots. And she, you know, collaborated with her evil label to fake everyone, when clearly she's very talented and probably could have done well on her own. So that's why I think this one sucks.
Cool. Thank you very much. That's my favorite. So now we are here at the end. Let's let each of you speak. We have the four finalists. We have HP, we have Cisco, we have agency.com. Then I'm going to throw Mary Digby in there just for the fun of it.
I'm out of this one.
You're out of this. Well, let's, right. I mean, let's talk a little bit about which of, please come back, Let's talk a little bit about which you guys think are the worst and advocate, not necessarily for your own, but just which of these is the worst. Then we'll let everybody vote.
Well, I still think it's Mackie.
Oh.
But again, French. You know, he's a CEO. I mean, he's responsible for tons and tons of jobs. So I'm sticking to Mackie.
I think we see three basic trends here. One is just advertising agencies acting like asses. That's not new. They just have a new way to display it. Another is to lie to us. Right, to make up things, to fake us out, which is just terribly, horribly insulting. I remember a while ago, one of the first campaigns was the milk-based soft drink.
Oh, yeah.
Bad idea right there.
The Raging Cow.
That did
raging
a blog by a cow.
That started all of it, actually.
You know, and that was, I think, the first one. How insulting is that to us? You're in a human world here. You know, you want to send them all free copies of the Clue Train Manifesto.
Yeah, but they were also giving swag to little kids.
They're doing all kinds of bad things. But the general trend here is that they were trying to fake humanity. They're in a world of real humanity at long last. They're trying to fake it. So that's number two is lying. And number three that I think we see today is trying to corrupt us. Trying to take this authentic voice that we have online, whether it's in blogs or Wikipedia or wherever it is, and trying to buy it. And I'm glad to see that most of these things we've mentioned have all earned their infamy and are gone, because the proof is you can't buy us.
Can I just ask you here whether the real rule is just don't get caught? I mean, have we just heard about the losers today, and there's actually a hell of a lot of successful stuff going on that we haven't heard about? Do you have such great faith?
That's possible, Henry, but I think there's an important element to people like us being up here. I mean, this can be a negative panel, and it's fun to be sarcastic and snarky about ad campaigns that totally suck. But then, you know, when you said, Steve, that was outed by the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal, I think it's important that we, the internet people, out this stuff, because what this stuff is hurting is the internet. It's hurting sites that some of us run or are involved with that are supported by advertising. It's hurting legitimate internet advertising. It's hurting this ecosystem that we all live in, work on, earn our livelihoods from, that we deeply love and respect because it's honest, because of all
it's what the National Enquirer did to print publishing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This stuff does to us.
Yeah, so I don't want just traditional media to out this stuff. I want us to police our own lives and call people out and not sully the commons.
Well, I would agree with that. I mean, I don't claim to be a journalist in what I do, but certainly I don't try to publish stuff that's not real. But it's happened. You know, stuff's been passed off on me. And, I'm usually pretty good at filtering it out. But I'm quite sure there's several things that I have written about that really are not real. And, no one stepped forward really to say that it's not real. So to your point, it's sort of like, I don't know if that's really serving anybody. Maybe it is because they don't get found out. But I'm not sure.
Okay.
It's also fun to just make people laughing stocks once they are found out.
So again, let's come down we have one vote for Mackie. Any other, you guys want to pick favorites, least favorites, horror shows?
I think Paper Post is evil.
So Hewlett-Packard, yeah, that was video.
Anything they do.
And yeah. Hewlett-Packard was an idiot to be involved with them.
Yeah.
You guys all concur? Is that the... the jury?
Which is the worst of the worst? Once you've seen all 9 minutes of it.
Oh, agency.com for you. Okay.
I don't know. Well, you know, the agency.com mostly because it's embarrassing. It's not that it really necessarily lied to people and pulled the wool over people's eyes and tried to pass them off. I mean, they did. They passed themselves off as something. But to me, you know, some of these others really sort of said, you know, keep it quiet, you know, don't let the secret out kind of a thing. Whereas these guys from agency.com just got up there and made asses of themselves.
Yeah, but you know, if that was a rule in life, we'd all be in big trouble. No, I mean,
right.
I mean, they weren't lying. They just did a bad job of acting.
But another way to look at it is what's most corrupt. Mm-hmm. The most corrupt, and I think we've had a lot of those.
And you don't think, I mean, Jeff, you would agree with me, agency.com is not the most corrupt.
No, it's not.
The silliest.
Yeah.
In fact,
yeah. Well, it depends on how we define the ad that sucks the most. Is it the most corrupt? Is it the most unsuccessful? Is it the most deceitful?
Yeah, yep, yeah, yep, yeah, yep. Yeah. I mean, I for me, deceit is the big.
And it's not, I mean, it's not hard to tell the truth. It really isn't. I mean, you know, pre-online, I mean, there's been tons of offline teaser campaigns. You see them everywhere. There's a billboard up. You don't know what it's for. And it sits there for 3 weeks, and then it's, you know, it changes, and you know who it's for. And that was entirely acceptable. But I think it's those same marketers who are now dealing with an online medium trying to do the same thing they did offline. Oh, you know, it's okay if we put something up there and don't say that it's us. But it's a whole different world. And they're still trying to figure it out and learn what the right way to do it is. And I think that, you know, it's just a matter of time, like anything, that there's going to be enough of these screw-ups that finally someday there won't be any screw-ups anymore. But that won't be fun because we won't have panels like this.
From a brand perspective, I think we've got years and years and years of habit of pushing out a message and no one talks back at us. You know, maybe they buy our products a little bit more, maybe they don't, but nobody responds to us. And I think what marketers don't understand, agencies or clients, is that in the social world, it's a conversation. And in a normal conversation, it goes two ways, and they're just not used to have that response to it. So I think we're still going to have a lot of authenticity issues in the years to come. We'll still have some companies like Target's were a bit divided. They'd like to try it, but not completely. Let's keep it a secret. But I think marketers in the end will understand that it goes two ways. So
great. So we will have a show of hands, and then we'll have 20 minutes left over for any kind of shouting that you folks want to do. So quickly, let's have a show of hands for Hewlett-Packard as the suxer of the suxers, the worst of the worst.
Evil. Come on.
This is going to be tough. Okay, Cisco, the spamming of the Wikipedia. That one's out. Okay, agency.com. Ooh, it's going to be tight. That's looking. And Mary Digby, let's just throw that one in there because that's my personal favorite. Okay.
It's agency.com.
Well, no, let's come back again. Let's compare notes. Between agency.com and Hewlett-Packard, that evil video, that's a big show of hands. Shall I show it again? That's my, okay. And then agency.com.
HP wins, I'd say.
Yeah. HP, okay. So back to the poor woman. Let's just give her one last. Oh, I've already closed it up. Sorry. Okay. So that wraps it up. Hewlett-Packard is the winner of the Suxers Award. We have Carl Castle is going to call them up and leave a message on their answering machine here from Austin, Texas. And then we'll send them a roll of toilet paper. That's
Or a smashed up camera.
A smashed up camera. Exactly. Okay. So now questions, comments, thoughts.
Yeah. I mean, now there's ones we haven't mentioned that you guys think are
Step
really
up
bad.
To the mic.
Morning. My name is Dave Evans, and just as disclosure, I participate in Ad Rants, and I write a Clixie column for Rebecca.
We know and love Dave.
It occurs to me, looking at these, that a lot of these were actually pretty decent campaigns. The issue was transparency. In the case of John Mackey, it was, you know, sort of bordered on illegal if it had been transparent. But a lot of them, like Walmart, the blogging across America, that could have been fully disclosed and positioned as a reality TV show on the web, and probably done pretty well. You want to talk a little bit about transparency? I mean, you've already touched on it, but why it is that it seems to be a challenge to be transparent in a medium that invites and rewards transparency?
I would say that a lot of marketers don't think it's a real medium yet. They think it's just a playground and that they can do whatever they want because there really aren't any established rules because it hasn't been around for very long. And really there aren't any official rules, really. I mean, there's, you know, like one way to buy a TV spot and there's one way to buy a radio spot. And okay, maybe there's, you know, 1.2 ways, but you know, on the internet, there's a million ways to do a million different things. So it's just a wild west.
But I think it's more than that. I think that it's, if Doc Searles were here, he would yell at us and say, it's not a medium, damn it. It's a place where we talk. And the internet is a connection machine. It connects people. It's about the people. The effort to get this false humanity here is ridiculous. It's transparency is a form of honesty, number one, but it also is just good sense. You're having a conversation. Again, Cloutrain said it. We recognize a human conversation. We recognize when it's being held honestly by people. And you've got to recognize you're talking to us as people. And when you treat us as a mass, you're going to fail. If you stand there transparently, one person talking to another, you're going to succeed. Even when you mess up, we'll forgive you if you are open and honest about it and succeed. And Dell is an example of that, I think, where they've learned from that and have shown that you can do that. And that's pretty amazing. So I think that the simple lesson here is you're absolutely right. Just be transparent. Be a human being. Talk to people like people.
Yeah, but Jeff,
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that assumes people believe in what they're doing. I mean, you know, isn't that a fundamental problem the whole ad industry has? Is, you know, the client people don't quite believe in what they're doing, and the people they're interacting with don't quite, you know, they're...
Well, so is it an agency role, or is it a company role, I think, is part of the question here. Is there a role for agencies in the future in this world?
And the agencies are still acting like agencies. You know, with the Walmart blog, the photographer was outed as being a staff photographer for the Washington Post. It's probably better to just go out and hire a professional photographer and get professional pictures then trust this couple who, by the way, weren't married, but they had been living together for a while, but that wasn't really great for the brand either, so they were portrayed as married, and they had all these out-of-wedlock children. It's just easier to get the Washington Post photographer, and then the client or the agency feels more comfortable that the pictures are going to look good.
I think easier
isn't necessarily better. It is more expensive.
I think it is incumbent on the marketer because the agency, and I can say this because I've worked in them for a long time, will just do what the marketer says because they want the money. And, you know, okay, that's crass. You know, yes, everyone that works at an agency has, you know, certainly they have morals and all that good stuff. But it is about the money. I mean, you know, if they can do a gigantic campaign and they can make a lot of money, they're inclined to do it. And the marketer and making that equation even worse, the marketer can then, they have plausible deniability. They can blame it on the agency. It happens all the time. It happened with the Target thing or one of these things, that they can come right back to say, oh, well, you know, we didn't tell them to do it. You know, they screwed up. The agency screwed up. So it's a little bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy, but I still think it's the marketer who kind of has to, you know, run the show. Well,
blame it on us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How are you doing? My name is Ryan. Quick question for you. I just was wondering, given the notion of transparency and just using the Rihanna one as a case study, do you think, I'm just interested to hear your opinions on if they had been more forthcoming about being a label and about using an artist to promote it, whether you guys think it actually would have been successful either way around it?
In many cases, no. I mean, some of the reason this stuff succeeds is because it is a lie. And because it gets found out and because it gets talked about. And it all depends upon the post-event PR that surrounds it. But, you know, I do believe that things done with disclosure can succeed. But not all.
I have a quick question about ARGs. So where the whole idea is to keep the secret. And that eventually you will reveal the secret and kind of who's behind it and what the thing is. So Vista did a big launch. Or Microsoft did a big launch with an ARG for Vista. How do you balance that kind of secrecy with being open and honest at the same time so you don't piss people off?
I love that question because some of my favorite stuff that we've seen done is driven by ARGs, and the ARG is a fiction, and it's kept secret until the end. And it's no fun if you knew up front that Microsoft was doing it. I would argue that's like an ad on television that shows a beautiful woman and a bathtub, and in the end happens to be selling you beer. You know, you just, it's a fiction. You enter into the fiction, and at the end, you found out, okay, this was brought to you by Miller Beer. And in the same way, an ARG would be this wonderful fiction, that a game that lots of people play. I mean, everybody knows the game is a fiction. It's just a question of who is the author.
There's a difference between teasing and lying. There's a difference between a lie and a punchline. You know, the question is whether the disclosure was built in from the front end, even if it happens at the back end. There was still a plan to disclose. And I think with everything we saw here, practically, there was no plan to disclose. There was a leak or an accident and an embarrassing mishap.
Do you buy that answer?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. Your client will. Good.
Speaking of clients, my name is Ian Schaefer, and full disclosure and transparency, I'm with an ad agency, Deep Focus. And, you know, one of the questions that I had for you guys is, a lot of the culprits that you see on here are public relations firms, which is kind of a big irony here because in many cases, public relations firms are there to be reputation managers and defenders. And here they are creating horrible PR for their clients. And then probably the other set of culprits are marketing agencies that are trying to buy their way into PR. So we all agree that public relations and probably even more specifically word of mouth is what is so important. But what's the fundamental problem here? Like why are PR firms doing what you see here, and why are marketers? Like what's the chain of thought that goes on between a marketer and their agency, whether it's a PR firm or a marketing firm, that creates something like this?
I think there's a very deep lack of respect for their audience. You've mentioned the word insulting. I've sat in some meetings where you can hear people say, "Oh, they'll do this," or "No, they'll never do that." And it's, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. I'm sure any marketers in the room has been through that, where it's like, wait a minute, if I was on the other side of the fence, it would be me that it would be deeply insulting. So I think there's a lack of respect for the audience, and I probably should get out of marketing, but sometimes extremely overinflated egos where they think they can get away with that. Yeah.
I have a structural hypothesis, which is, you know, an agency, a media buyer makes 15% or 20% on a $10 million buy. So let's say that's $1.5 million. If you can structure the whole thing as one of these campaigns, you can pocket the whole $10 million. And instead of steering it through media and taking a commission, if you can run the whole damn thing, you can swallow the whole thing as profit.
Which is a very salient point to what Jeff said about our agencies necessary. I mean, agencies, you know, the word derives from agent, 10%. 10% of the swimsuit shoot in the Bahamas is a substantial amount of money. 10% of an animated GIF is not a lot of money. So these people are trying to figure out how to monetize this new industry, interactive marketing and advertising, without a real agency model that's derived from these traditional models to pay your mortgage off of.
And I think, Ian, to your point about, you know, about the PR agency versus the PR versus the agency, is that I think PR agencies are involved, not, okay, let's get the terminology, PR people are involved because it's almost PR-like, a lot of these programs that you see, these social media campaigns, because it's sort of in one way what PR people do offline more so than agencies. So I think that's why you probably, I mean, I know I use the word erroneously for most of these things, agencies, but you're right. A lot of PR people are involved with this, and I think that it's just closer to their existing practice.
I guess a lot of you remember that last year South by Southwest got kicked off with a panel on snakes on a plane. And that was an instance where it was rather unintentional, but through this viral campaign, the customers kind of became partners with the product creator. And I think it was an uneasy relationship, and that's what's happening right now with the lack of trust and the, when we talk about our customers being stupid, it's self-defense. Makes us feel better. It's true. And, but as, if the goal is really an evolution where the customers become the partners, the collaborators, and the creators, there's not room for a third party, to my mind.
That really hit me. I'm sorry I brought up Dell five times, but Lionel's right here, and it's so great. When I came back from writing a Business Week story as a media guy, it occurred, I mean, and mind you, Dell just spent $3 billion with Sir Martin Sorrell, so they're still buying advertising and hiring PR. But their Valhalla is the direct relationship with the customer being their agent, who now also creates the marketing message, who also can now sell the product, who can also support the product. And in the end, the ideal is every dollar you can get rid of in advertising and replace with a real relationship with a real customer with a good product, everybody wins, except the agency and media.
Okay, great. Thank you all for coming, and we have enjoyed it.